Bibles with me. Let's go over to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 31. Luke chapter 4, verse 31. It says, "And came down to Capernaum, the city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." You ought to just underline that in your Bible, that his word was with power. Our words carry power. You understand that. Jesus' word carried power. Our words carry power. It says, "And there was in the synagogue a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God.' And Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Hold thy peace, and come out of him.' And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, 'What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out.' And the fame of him went all around about every place in of the country round about." I'm sorry. I wanted to just make sure that we brought that out. Notice that his word was with authority and with power. Now, you have to understand that you and I now are the body of Christ. You and I are now the representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're representatives of heaven. You and I are doing business here on the earth till Jesus comes and takes the church home. So you and I have been anointed that we speak out with authority and power. Amen. See, here's the thing. Most of the church has no idea what they say matters. They don't understand the authority that they can have with their voice. And that authority, see, here's the thing. It works both ways. The way our words come out, they can come out as power, they can come out as faith-filled, they can change situations, or they can come out as failure. Come on, defeat, not good enough. Come on, never going to make it, don't know what we're going to do. Yeah, the words that come out, he says that Jesus spoke with authority and power. Now, Jesus told us to do what he did, right? He said, I just do what my Father tells me to do, that's all I can do. And so we ought to be doing the same thing the Father does. What Jesus did, the Father does, and we should be doing too. Why? Because we're kids of the Most High, children of the Most High. So we should be speaking with power and authority over situations, circumstances, whatever's going on that's not God. You and I need to be speaking against that. And if the church would stand up as a whole and begin to speak with authority, I'm telling you, you'd start seeing things change, because it has to change in the spirit realm before it's ever going to change in the natural realm. You have to understand that. Pulling down strongholds means we got to pull it down from the spiritual realm if we want it to take effect in the earth. One of the reasons there's so much ungodliness is because instead of people speaking against it and using the power and authority of the Holy Ghost to come against it, they're joining in. Amen. Here's a devil that gets cast out just by the word. Tells him to come out, and the devil comes out. And the people are astonished, and they say, "Well, what a word is this? That with authority and power, even the devils listen to him." Can I tell you something? The devil doesn't have anything over you. He's not stronger than you are. He's not bigger than you are. Matter of fact, he's under your feet. Under our feet too. But see, a lot of the problem is the church don't treat him like that. They treat him like he's some kind of superior or something like that. Come on now. I mean, just because Hollywood portrays him to be something like that, you've got to understand, he doesn't have that kind of power over you. People are afraid of somebody to put a curse on them. People are afraid of voodoo. People are afraid of black magic for all that junk. That's all under your feet. Come on now. Now, you can't dabble in it and expect it to be under your feet too. right? You know, you can't be going and getting your horoscope and trying to figure out your future, you know, from magic or black magic or from the devil, and then try to come against him with power and authority. No, you've got to be on God's side all the way. Come on, dedicated to him, and walk in the authority and the power that was given to you, the same authority and power that was given to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In Matthew, he made a transfer. When he looked at him and said, "All power in heaven and earth been given unto me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations." When he began, that was the transfer. What he was saying is, it's all been given to me. Now I'm giving it to you. Go with it. You see, because Jesus knew he's going back. He's sending the Holy Ghost down here to help us. And so he's saying, take that power, that authority, and go teach everybody what you've been taught. And the trouble is, we're not being taught. Come on, the church is not being taught that they have power and authority. Matter of fact, the church has been taught this barely making it mentality. That we're nothing mentality, that we're just old worms and we're not worthy. And, you know, if you get to heaven, you know, praise God, you made it, you know, if you're lucky enough to. Come on. They've not been taught that, yes, once I make Jesus my Lord, I don't have to worry about where I'm going to heaven or not. I'm going. There ain't no doubt about that. Come on now. Once I get the Word of God in me, I understand and know that I don't have to walk in poverty. I don't have to walk in lack and want. Come on. The way I should, I'll prosper. I'm speaking over my life. I'm letting my words say that I'm above only and not beneath. I'm the head, not the tail. He's opening up his good treasure to me. Amen. See, that those words have power. And a lot of folks say just, well, you know, you're just talking to hear your head rattle. Well, I'm going to make my head rattle as much as I can with words like that, because that's words filled with power that's in the Word of God that's going to come to pass. Why? Because you'll decree a thing and it'll be established. So I'm going to decree it out of my mouth. I'm going to decree my healing. Come on, that I'm walking in divine health. You see, some of you looking at me funny. It doesn't matter where you're healed right now or not. You still keep speaking it. Even whether you feel it in your body or not. Because as far as God's concerned, it's already done. And see, that's what you have to go on. I'm going on His Word, not on how I feel. Not on symptoms or anything like that. I am going by the authority and the power of the Word of God that says by His stripes I was. And if I was, I am. Amen. So see, that's the kind of power and authority Jesus was walking in. When He walked up, that devil was there and He cast out that devil. The devil knew he had to go. Now, he didn't want to. He throwed the guy around a little bit, but he knew he had to come out and couldn't hurt him. Amen. Why? Because the power of the Word of God had come forth, and that devil had no other choice but to subject himself to the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you speak words, the devil has no choice but to obey those words when they're spoken in the name of Jesus. It's the authority and power that you carry. And so it says they'd never heard anything like that. They were so amazed by that. That, you know, they were astonished. They went and told him, the fame went about it. Well, you look what this guy did. Well, you know, maybe we ought to speak with a little more power and authority and see some things happen. Not so that people talk about us, but so they'll talk about him. God working through us, signs, wonders, and miracles. We've got to start speaking with more power and more authority. I talked about him last time. I'll talk about him again now. Lillian's dog, okay? That mutt, you know. He visits. When they let him out, he comes to our house for snacks, okay? Now, if he can get into my garage, he'll go in there and get into my trash can. And here he'll start, because he's one of those dogs that he likes to play. And so if he thinks he's got something that you don't want him to have, you can chase him till you turn blue, okay? He's just that kind. All right? The reason I'm using him for an example is there are times, you know, a lot of times I'll say, "Here, give me that," you know, like it. And there comes a point where I say, "Shut up! Quit!" What happens? I'm using authority. Now, he recognizes that I just began to speak. I'm serious now. Okay? The dog knows I'm serious. Hey, you know, he'll just whimper down. Now, you look at me and say, "Well, why are you telling us that?" It's about time that the church start getting serious with the devil and quit petting him around and loving on him and just saying, oh, you can. Come on. It's time for us to look at the devil and say, get out of my life, out of my finances. Come on. See, it's time that we start speaking those kind of words with authority. When you use authority, the devil understands it. Why? Because he recognizes it when you recognize who you are. See, the problem is a lot of times, you know, folks are, I mean, really, the church has kind of been like, you know, oh, Mr. Devil, would you, if you don't care and it's not too much trouble, would you please, you know, come out of that man? That's kind of like the guys, the sons of Sceva, right? We adjure you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out of the man. There wasn't any authority in that. They didn't even know, really, Jesus. And the devil looks and says, well, I know Paul, I know Jesus, but I don't know you. It's about time we introduce ourselves to the devil. Come on, I know you don't want to hear that. Come on. You know, but what I mean by that is we need to let him know who we are. Come on now. You need to just kind of walk into your house and just open up the door and say, hey, devil, there's a new sheriff in town and I've decided I'm taking over my household. I'm taking over my kids. I'm taking over my finances. I'm taking over my health. I'm speaking the word of God over it all. You got to get out of it now in Jesus' name. Come on. See, that kind of authority carries weight. The devil recognizes that. But if we don't walk in it, talk it, speak it, act it, it's not going to come to pass. Now, we have that power. Look over here in Luke chapter 10. I'll show it to you. Because folks will say, oh, you can't do that. You know, I'd be afraid to talk like that to the devil. Well, look here what Jesus says. And we'll just look at one verse here. Matthew chapter 10, look at verse 19. He says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notice that. I give you power over all the power of the enemy. Now, that first word power there is the Greek word exousia, which means authority. The second word power there is the Greek word dunamis, which means dynamite. Means power. And here's what he's saying. He said, I'm giving you authority over all the power or the dunamis of the enemy. I'm giving you that authority. So if Jesus gave it to us, guess what? We got it. We've got it. And the trouble is the church don't act like they got it. They act like the devil's got the power. But he doesn't. Come on now. It's us that have it. So he says, I'm giving you this power. Here's what you have to understand. The enemy has to surrender to the greater power. He's succumbed by the anointing of God. He has to, but he's not going to do it without a fight. Notice there that he threw the guy around a little bit before he came out. Didn't hurt him, but he threw him around a little bit. The devil's not just going to willingly walk off when you tell him to get. He's going to resist because he thinks you'll quit. Did you hear me? Because most Christians do. But you've got to stay adamant. You've got to stay with it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, this familiar scripture says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So see, right there, there's your enemy. Right there. But then, 1 Timothy, Paul writes, and he tells Timothy, he says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. What's that mean? That means I got to continue to use my faith to bring down the enemy, to come against the enemy, to cast out the enemy, to bring things to pass from the Word of God. Amen. See, when I'm using my faith, I'm doing what God wants me to do. You and I, this is a Word of Faith church, and you are Word of Faith people. You ought to be speaking out the Word. You ought to be speaking faith on every situation. Now, here's the thing about this. Anything worth having is worth fighting for. Amen? If it's worth having, it's worth fighting for. You ought to fight for your faith. I understand the world's trying to take it away from us, but it's time for the church to stand up and say, enough's enough. We've had enough of the false religions, the stupidness, and the craziness. Let's stand up and get back to the Word of God. Amen. Let's come back and get where our country was established. Let's go back to that. Amen. It's been working good a long time. I don't see a point or any reason at all to change it. Just because people's opinions change, that doesn't change the Word of God. And this country was founded on the Word of God. So, you know, we're a faith people. This is a faith country. We have faith in God. And, you know, anybody, I'm just this resolve. If you don't believe in God and have faith in God, go to wherever the country, the God that you believe in. Amen. This is a Christian nation. Jehovah God and Jesus Christ. That's who we serve. Amen. That's who this country serves. And if you don't like that, then go somewhere where they serve your God. You know. But the trouble is, see, in those nations, their God's not doing too well. And they're not doing too well because they don't have a God. It's a false God. And because they serve a false God, then they don't have the blessings of Jehovah God. And so their country is under a curse. Yeah, if you've ever been to a third world country, you'd know that. Amen. Well, just looking and seeing what you see there, you realize and know that the enemies at work in those places, see, they're serving the devil, their God. But we serve Jehovah God. And this nation has been blessed all these years because we serve Him. And if we ever quit serving Him, then this nation will go down too. And believe me, they're in the works trying their best to get rid of God. But you and I have to stand up and say, you know what? We're taking our authority. We're going to speak out words of power and authority over these people and have God remove them so that godly people that will do the will of God will be put in. Amen. But now see, that takes, like me and you, we can't just sit at the house and say, well, I'm not going to go vote. I don't want to drive. I don't want to go down around all down payboat. Now, you need to stand up and say, you know what? I want to be the first in the line down there. I want them to know I'm going to vote godly. It's not about parties. It's about voting godly. What does the Word say? Who stands on the Word? And you say, well, sometimes it's just the greater of two evils. Well, I'll pick the one that's more godly then. The best I can. Or the ones that at least will go God's way. Amen. And you know, I mean, politicians, you don't know what might happen before it's over with. But I'm just saying, I'm going to do my part according to the Word of God. And then I've done my part. I don't have to answer to God for it. And see, that's the trouble with the church. They don't think they have to answer to God for things. They think they can just do whatever they want to and it don't matter. But it does matter to God. Amen. It matters to God. I know some pastors that have told their people, it don't matter who you vote for. God's will is going to be done anyway. No, that's not true. You say, oh, yeah, it is. No, it's not. Oh, yeah, God's will be done. Do you remember when the children of Israel wanted a king? You remember that? God said, I don't want you to have a king. I don't want them to have a king. But they wouldn't. We want a king like other nations have got a king. God says, okay. I'll give you what you want, but you'll get what they get into. You'll be under his thumb. You'll be in his wars. And come on. That's exactly what he said. Take your sons and daughters. And see, that they got what they wanted. Now, you say, well, God's will be done anyway. No, God's will was for them not to have a king. But he allowed them because God will not override your will. That's one thing God will not do. So when it comes to elections and those kind of things, you can sit back if you want to and not do a thing. Thinking God's going to do this and God's going to do that. But no, God's expecting you to do it because He's left it up to you to follow Him and do what's right. Amen. Now, I'm not trying to be political. I'm just trying to help you know that if the church don't stand up for what's right, who's going to? We have to make sure that we're using our authority and our power in every means that we can. If that means it's in a voting booth, let's do it. Let's make sure it is. You know. I mean, you have to understand how things happen. You know, the church sat back and caused prayer to be left out of the school because they wouldn't stand up and use the power and authority they had. What can one woman do? Well, if everybody else is shut up, one woman can do a whole lot. But if everybody would have stood up and say, oh, wait, no, this is a Christian nation. We will have prayer in school. Guess what? We'd still be having prayer in school. And it wouldn't be devil worship either. Come on, it would still be Christian prayer. We'd still be having those things happening in the classrooms. But, you know, teachers would still be praying with kids and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, the church has set back and not used our power and our authority. It's worth fighting for. Amen. Now, Matthew chapter 11, jump over here real quick, and I want to show you something here. Matthew chapter 11. I think I put Mark down here. Let me get to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, look at verse 12. It says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." Now, I've done some studying on this, and some of the translations is a little different, but for the most part, and even theologians and different concordances and those kind of studies and that kind of thing, it's basically what the Lord was saying here is ever since John the Baptist started preaching the gospel, people have been violently running to the gospel, trying to basically even force themselves into the kingdom of heaven once they started hearing the good news. See, what that tells me is you and I, sometimes we need to get some zeal about us. We need to stir ourselves, shake ourselves and realize maybe we got the best thing going. Right? Come on, we got the best deal that ever was right now. Come on now. You can't find what we have anywhere else except with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to get a little more violent. And I'm not talking about being mean violent. I'm just talking about a little more ferocious with our faith. Maybe a little bit more up to us instead of just sitting back. You know, if we don't press in, how can we accomplish the things God wants us to accomplish? It's not going to happen just sitting back. We need to be pressing into this thing. And he was saying, you know, people are coming into the kingdom and they're it's like that they're violent about it. They want it so badly that they're going to push their way in. Man, if Christians would get that way right now and get that attitude, I'm going to see a miracle tonight. Regardless, I'm pressing into that. I won't accept anything other than a miracle. Come on, think about it for a minute. Won't accept anything else except salvations tonight. Coming, expecting it, wanting it, and not going to not leave without it. The truth is, most of the time we drag ourselves here, sit around for a while, and then drag ourselves home. Come on. A lot of times unchanged and sometimes more happy about leaving so we can go to the restaurant or go wherever it is we got, whatever it is we got planned. No, church, we are the anointed ones. We're the ones that carry the power and the authority on this earth. We ought to come in here excited that we're getting an opportunity to come for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Excited that we get to come before Jehovah God, the one that created everything and then set us in charge of it. Gave us authority and power of it. Amen. He did that for us. Now, so that we need to then get to that place where we're enforcing the kingdom of God out on the lost and dying world. See, here's the thing. Sometimes people don't know that they need you to help them. They're so caught up in what the world's doing, so caught up in what the enemy's doing, that people just, they don't even realize, because the Bible talks about the God of this world blinding their eyes so that they can't receive the gospel. They don't understand what position they're in, and they need us to help them. They need us to tell them that they need Jesus, that Jesus loves them. They need us to impose the kingdom of God. Amen. See, if we're not going to do it again, who's going to do it? If we're not imposing the kingdom, then all we're doing is just, we're on a joy ride. Come on. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes imposing the kingdom means you get a little uncomfortable. Amen. It means sometimes that, you know, you don't get to do what you want to do. You do what God tells you to do, and then it all works out for His glory. See, we need that. He says the kingdom of God suffers violence. When we start looking at the kingdom of God, I like this one scripture over here in Romans, if you want to turn to it, and we'll look at it real quick. Romans chapter 14, let's go over there. Paul, talking about the kingdom of God, says this: for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. In other words, it's not a fleshly thing. Thank God for His prosperity. Thank God for His blessing. Thank God that He's prospering us. But that's not all the kingdom of God. Okay? Look what he says. What does he say? He says it's not meat, it's not drink. But he goes on here and he says, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is righteousness. It's me walking and living in my right standing with God, knowing that because of the blood of Jesus, I've been redeemed. I've been set free. I'm not guilty of anything anymore. Come on. I'm not guilty against God anymore. I am in right standing with God. So that puts me in a position to walk in my authority. See, it's because of His righteousness. We've been made the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ because He took our sin. So the kingdom of God is righteousness. And then it's peace. I'm telling you something. If you don't have peace, then you need to really get back with God and maybe get another dose of the Holy Ghost. Because there's a peace that comes with serving God. That doesn't mean that there's not trouble that comes up, things happen and that kind of thing. But there's a peace about serving God that, as Jesus said, it's my peace that I give to you. But other people don't understand that kind of peace. It's the kind of peace that when things are going all haywire, you're still calm. You're not freaking out. You're not wringing your hands. You're not worried, what in the world am I going to do? Because you have that peace that if God be for me, who can be against me? See, that's a peace that only comes from God. Now, I understand that there are people in the world that sometimes they feel like they've got peace. But no. The peace comes from God. Even our nations, when, you know, oh, we're going to have peace talks. If God's not right in the middle of it and it's not involved, God's not involved in that, it's not peace talks anyway. It's just a ceasefire. Come on, right? They might have a ceasefire, but there's no peace without God. Amen. You know, and most of the time when they're doing those kind of things, they're trying to have peace talks with a country that doesn't even believe in God. Well, they believe in a God, but not the God. Amen. Amen. So that peace, there's nothing like having the peace. You know, when you have that kind of peace, you're not afraid of death. Amen. You know, I mean, should we die? I mean, we're going on to be with Jesus. Amen. You know, that don't mean you want to die, but I'm just telling you, you have that peace. It's not one of those things that you run around afraid of all the time. Right? Amen. Why? Because I know God's my protection. He's my rear guard. He's here with me. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. So we have the righteousness, right standing. We have peace, which really just brings out all the joys of serving God. But then joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness. This is what Paul says that the kingdom of God is. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. If there's something that I've seen go downhill or slack off in the church over the past 10, 15 years, it's people that are seeking to be filled with the Holy Ghost. People who want to, I mean, you know, when we got into this thing, when we came out of denominational church, the first thing I wanted was, I wanted to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I wanted what everybody else was talking about. You see, I had been denominationalized, and I'd been told that it wasn't for me today, wasn't for me. But once I started studying this thing out and found it was real, I wanted it. Don't you want everything that God's got for you? But now, see, here's the thing. You can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and still not walk in joy. Amen. You can get filled with, there's people filled with the Holy Ghost, and they're some of the saddest people you ever saw in your life. Why? Because they're not exercising what they have on the inside of them. They're not stirring up what's on the inside of them. They're not praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. See, that's the problem. Once we get filled with the Holy Ghost, if you want the joy of the Holy Ghost, you need to start letting Him talk some. You need to be praying out. Praying in your car. Just pray out loud. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Let your ears hear the Holy Ghost talk. And I'm going to tell you something. You talk about bringing some joy. Because you know why you're praying in the Holy Ghost. If there's anything that needs to be addressed, He's addressing it. Come on, think about it. Something that's going on that you don't even know about, He does. And you're praying that out. The enemy got some kind of attack lined up, He's already on guard for you. Come on. See, there's a joy about that. And then, of course, there's always just that joy that makes you laugh and jump and sing and run and dance and all that. We're not seeing enough of that. Because that's part of the kingdom of God. Part of the kingdom of heaven is that the joy of the Holy Ghost comes. Man, we need some more runners. Did you hear me? When somebody takes off running, it just ignites a place. But, you know, it takes that joy that, you know, I don't care what anybody thinks, I'm going to run. I don't care what anybody thinks, I'm going to shout. I don't care what anybody thinks, I'm going to jump. I'm going to dance. I'm going up front and just give God my best worship. You see, that's part of the joy of the Holy Ghost. I told you all when we was talking about Pastorette and how she was shouting, oh, do you know how this feels? Yeah, we know how. That was the joy of the Holy Ghost. But see, that's what Paul's trying to tell us. Listen, you want in on this kingdom thing? Then you need to start taking your power, your authority, and quit letting the devil defeat you. Get a hold of what God has. Use those words that God has given you. Take the anointing that's been placed on your life to destroy yokes and remove burdens. And walk in this thing in its fullness. Not half in, not out. Come on. All in. And watch what God does. Amen. Stand to your feet with me. God wants us to walk and talk with power and authority. And He's given us the ability to do that. It's up to us whether we do it or not. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, help us, Father God, understand and not forget, Lord, that Your authority and power has already been given to us. Father, You've already anointed us to do exploits. Thank You, Father God, that You've already given us everything we need in this life, Lord, that pertains to godliness. Now help us to walk in that and be mindful, Father God, of who You are and who we are. And Father, we give You honor and glory. We ask You, Father God, to forgive us of anything in our life that blocks Your flow. Forgive us, Lord, of anything that would keep us from receiving anything that You'd have for us. And Father, we just give You praise and honor and thank You for the power and the authority. Thank You that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we give You praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Anybody here need us to pray with you about anything? Lay hands on you and believe God with you for anything.